remember how hard it was for me to give up smoking all those years ago. And in the same way, giving up other bad things in our lives, well, it can be tough. Do I or don't I? And if I do, how do I give them up? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program today as we chat about the dilemma of giving up the addictive sin in our lives from a different perspective. I remember how hard it was for me to give up smoking. I was sharing with a couple of builders who were smoking outside my house the other day. I used to smoke 3 packets a day. That's 75 cigarettes every day. I mean, I was so super addicted, I'd be sitting at my desk and light up one cigarette before I'd finish the last one. What did it for me was when I was with someone when they died of lung cancer. I watched them breathe their last breath. And when I walked out of that hospital room just over 30 years ago now, I threw my packet of cigarettes in the bin and I haven't smoked one cigarette since that time. But it wasn't easy. It was a day-by-day proposition, a craving-by-craving proposition. Letting go of that habit actually took years. And can I tell you, there are still some days today when I feel like I could smoke a cigarette, but I figure I can go just one more day. Giving up bad things can be really, really hard. This week, and in fact over the next few weeks, we're going through a little series that I've called Discover Your Destiny. And over the week, I guess we've looked at the fact that if indeed we're made in God's image, and if He actually does have the most amazing plan for our lives, and yet when we follow our plan instead of His plan, somehow it ends up being hollow and empty. Now, I've heard people protest and say that's not the case. I'm a happy atheist, for instance. But one by one, we all eventually come to that conclusion that there's got to be something more. Am I really being the me I was meant to be? You know, you have this sense of a destiny and somehow you're not quite living that destiny out yet. Yesterday, we chatted about how when we go our own way, when we leave the me, 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 anything goes philosophy, we end up facing a dilemma. On the one hand, we generally come to the conclusion that it's not working. I did it in my life. I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm also short, so there's no pride in that. I just happened to be a very intelligent person, and I had everything going for me. But it wasn't working on the inside, and we know when it's not working. So on the one side, we want to go our way, and it's not working. And on the other, sometimes we believe in God. We want to have a relationship with Him, and a relationship that's awesome and amazing and fulfilling and exciting and tender and wonderful. But we know there are some things in life that He's going to want us to give up. With me, it was my ego. It was huge. I'd speak at conferences all around the world in the IT industry, and I was frankly full of myself and had an ego the size of a small planet. Then I read the bit in the Bible that says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gulp. Looks like He wants me to do something with my pride. So there was a crunch time for me there. There always is. There's always one or two things. Often that's all it is that we really need to give up. And they're inevitably things that are so important to us that we want to hang on to them for dear life or for grim death because they're bad for us. They poison our lives. When you have a strong pride addiction, a pride that dominates who you are, you can't have close relationships. Pride is always worrying about how other people see you and you never have any peace. Life's always a competition to be the best. It's one-upmanship. But I knew that I had to give it up. And it was just like giving up smoking. There were two parts. The first part was that deep-down decision, throwing the packet of cigarettes in the bin. You see, you can't be double-minded. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't be a smoker and a non-smoker at the same time. And the second part was actually living that out day after day. So what is it with you? What's the sin? I hope you don't mind me using that word, but it'll do. We all have a sense of what it means. What's the sin that's robbing you of your identity? The sin that's robbing you of your destiny? And is it really worth it? Maybe it's anger. That's a powerful one. Some people are always angry with the world. Or maybe you're cheating on your wife or your husband. Perhaps you're being dishonest at work. Maybe you're selfish, only interested in yourself and not anyone else. Perhaps you have someone poor or needy close to you and you don't reach out to help them. Maybe you're busy playing politics, undermining people behind their backs, playing the game just so that you can win instead of for the good of others. We don't have enough time in the day to go through them all. But there's always something, isn't there? And here's what I believe. In fact, here's what I know because I learned it the hard way. That something is going to rob you of your destiny, the amazing future God has planned for you. And that's a tragedy. Can I ask you to think right now, what's the one thing, the one sin that's robbing you of your destiny? Just think and know it in your mind and look at it and turn it over and over. That one thing, your something. Now, let me ask you two questions about it. Firstly, are you proud of it or do you hide it? The chances are you hide it. That's what we inevitably do when we know that what we're doing is wrong. And secondly, what benefit is it to you? The very same question that the Apostle Paul asked in the New Testament, Romans chapter 6, verse 21. So what advantage did you actually get then from those things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. The key to letting that one thing, your something, your sin go, is realizing it's just not good for you. It's not good for those whom you love, and it's robbing you of your destiny. Your destiny to be who you were always meant to be. Your destiny to have a powerful, positive impact in this world, to leave behind a living legacy, a legacy that outlives you by generation, a legacy of good. Remember, you can't be a smoker and a non-smoker at the same time. You can't have your cake and eat it as well. You can't hang on to sin and fulfill your destiny. You just can't. Deciding to make the change, deciding to let go of your something, only you can decide that. I can encourage you, but you have to decide. I can put things right before you, but only you can decide to do something about it. See, some people want God in their own terms. Well, you know, I'm living with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. That's the way things are. And if God wants me, he just has to accept that. Well, you know, it doesn't work that way. We can't remake God in our image. It's exactly the opposite. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock, over everything on the earth. So God created us in his image. In the image of God, he created us. Male and female, he created us. Letting go of sin is hard. But when we live through that, every craving, every urge, every disappointment, just to try and honor God, just to be true to our identity, he blesses it because the sin thing robs us of life, life itself. And when we finally put God at the top of the heap with all our hearts, with every fiber of our beings, then doors open, our identity comes forward, our destiny is open to us. When we put our trust in Jesus alone, we're embarking on a journey that's not going to be easy, a journey that's going to have trials and temptations, and some days we're going to make mistakes and fail, and we have to get up again and brush ourselves off and keep on going. But you know something? When we commit to that journey with Jesus, and when we understand that we have to work through the issues in our lives, failure by failure, craving by craving, temptation by temptation, day by day, week by week, month by month, all of a sudden what happens, and this is what I experienced, this is what so many others experience, when we go through that after months and years, you look back and you think, you know something, I'm the person that God meant me to be. This is the direction I'm meant to be headed in. My life's going in the right way. I'm doing things that I'm meant to do. This is my destiny. Are you being the person God meant you to be? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would love to pray for you. Listen, the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others and leave them an encouraging word. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Timet. Catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.